Ubercasting take two. This application is the Dank Freak Nut Sauce. Today is the Wednesday before May 12th. This is the Apple Weekly Report, a Mac Observer podcast, and I'm Ricky Spiro.
And I'm Jeff Gamet. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, including Dank Freak Nut Sauce, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup.
We haven't really talked much about the iPhone on the show, mostly because we haven't seen the product yet. Very few people actually have in person, but the discussion is starting to get interesting on the internet and elsewhere. And the release date is drawing near, so this week we dive whole hog right into iPhone mania. You all know the news as well as we do, so we're just going to get straight into the context machine. So, Jeff, let's begin with the following question. Are you going to buy an iPhone?
No. But I have a very good reason for not buying an iPhone.
All right. What's that?
I lust for the iPhone. I truly do. However, I'm using T-Mobile, and where I am in the Denver-Boulder Front Range area in Colorado, I'm having extremely good luck with my T-Mobile coverage. And switching to Singular, now AT&T, really doesn't feel like a good thing to me. Therefore, I'm going to have to do without an iPhone. Although, I am considering seeing if I can find an iPhone after they come out, like on eBay or something, and or wait till after they come out in Europe so that they're unlocked phones, and get one from Europe off eBay or whatever, pop my SIM card in and see if it'll work, knowing full well that I won't have all the features, but hopefully I'll have enough to be happy.
Yeah, and certainly at least a way to get a sense of how the thing works. I want to talk a little bit about some of the news that showed up this week. One of the reasons that this seemed like a good week to talk about the iPhone, the analysts are really starting to talk a lot about numbers. They've been saying, oh, we're very excited about the iPhone. Apple's going to do really well here, blah, 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 blah. But recently, people have started putting numbers out there. And one in particular, Ben Reitzes from UBS. We had this quote from him in an article this week. Apple seems very upbeat about the prospects for the iPhone. For Macs and Apple TV, all three products, and this was after a meeting that he had with some Apple executives.
Right.
And what he was saying is, and these are his words, while the iPhone launch in June should garner significant attention, we believe that investors should also focus on prospects for continued Mac momentum with new products and the ability for Apple TV to become more of a DVD player replacement over the next few years. So before we get into discussion of the iPhone numbers and all of this, let's start with the question before that, which is in terms of Apple's existing products, the ones that are currently on the marketplace, Apple TV and the Mac, is there a particular reason to believe that the situation here is going to change in the next few months, that we're going to start to see huge sales of Apple TV, or that we're going to see a big upsurge in sales of the Mac?
Well, let's start with Apple TV. And I think that Ben Reitzes' comment about Apple TV becoming a replacement for the DVD player, that's a very significant statement. And I think he hit the nail on the head. That's where I see Apple TV really coming to life and being this powerhouse product, not today, but down the road. And that's when the Apple TV starts taking over from the whole DVD business. Now, where I see that whole thing starting to come into play will be the day that Steve Jobs says, oh, by the way, we've just ramped up the resolution of all the TV shows and movies at the iTunes store. And when that happens, that's when the floodgates will start to open. Because right now, the biggest problem I see in the United States for Apple TV is that the quality of the shows that you're going to download from the iTunes store is a little bit low for what you really want for this product. And so you see the jaggy artifact things, and that's not what people want.
There also seems to be an issue. I mean, my experience with it is that a lot of people, in terms of mass adoption, a lot of people like to rent DVDs. It seems hard for me to believe that if there's no rental option for sucking music down to an Apple TV, that people are going to be replacing their DVD players.
Well, I'm going to pull out my little crystal ball that we all know is usually broken, but I'll do it anyhow. And my prediction is that we will, for the long term, continue to see music purchases at the iTunes store, but that at some point in the relatively near future, you know, somewhere between now and 12 months from now, we will see the addition of movie rentals at the iTunes store. You'll still be able to buy TV shows and movies, but you'll also have a rental option.
All
and
right.
When that so happens, that, it takes care of the part that you're looking for, a DVD rental service.
All right. And maybe then my intuition is that it's hard to imagine. I'm focusing right now on Ben Reitz's comments specifically about Apple TV replacing DVDs. I find it hard intuitively to imagine that will begin to happen until rentals come out. So we'll see. I mean, maybe there will be this sudden adoption, but the replacement idea is the thing I'm quibbling with.
Yeah, and I don't think it'll be a sudden adoption. This will be a gradual thing. The whole thing with the DVD industry, it's crazy, and that's a really difficult thing to duplicate. You know, keep in mind that DVD is the fastest adopted technology in the history of mankind. And how do you top that? Well, you top it with an iPod, but that's a different thing. As far as the whole DVD market goes, you're not going to be able to just go out and replace that industry overnight. Over the long term, as technology changes, bandwidth improves, you know, all the tech things that happen to make our lives happier, more exciting, and occasionally more annoying, as all those things happen, the Apple TV is going to be in the prime position to take advantage of all of that and leverage it and make inroads into the DVD market. I don't think it'll be a full replacement, but it will be a very nice and eventually very lucrative supplement to that industry.
All right. The one other thing I wanted to point out about Ben Reitz's comments, he says he projects that Apple will be a $30 billion dollar company in 2008. He specifically says he expects they'll earn $30.6 billion U.S. in 2008. So we'll see. Maybe Apple is already about a $20 billion company. I think 2000, what are we in, seven now? 2006
right.
Was a 19-ish billion dollar year, if I remember correctly. We'll see what 2007 is, and then ultimately what 2008 shows up.
Yeah.
Now, let's start to talk a little bit about the iPhone specifically. Give me a gut reaction here. When you read the coverage about consumer interest, AT&T said at one point that they had over 1 million inquiries about the iPhone in some short period of time, whatever it was. There seems to be a tremendous, there's clearly a lot of press. There seems to be a lot of consumer interest. There are some surveys that we've mentioned on TMO about outrageous percentages of people. 10% of people are planning to buy an iPhone. Now, these are biased surveys for various reasons. But what is your gut instinct about this launch? Is this going to be, I mean, are people going to be waiting in 5-mile lines to buy iPhones? Are they going to sell, you know, 50 million of them in 3 days? Or is it going to be more of a sane, reasonable product launch than people seem to be getting geared up for? What's your gut instinct?
Now, my gut instinct, using my Jedi skills, tells me that the first initial release, whatever day that is, depending on what rumor you listen to on any given day, that first release is going to be just nuts. And you're going to have people lined up at singular stores. You're going to have people lined up at Apple stores. And it's going to be a Tickle Me Elmo insane mess. And then after that initial burst, which might be a week or two, or maybe even only a couple days, who knows, then it's going to taper off and it's going to be this real steady thing where you have a lot of people buying them on a regular basis, but not with that frothy frenzy that you're going to have right at the very beginning. So I think it's going to just be a steady growing mass of iPhone users. And I'm also making a very bold assumption here, which is that when the iPhone is released, there will not be major issues with the operating system or applications on the device, and that Singular will not be having any issues of significance with the service they're providing to iPhone users. If you have a problem on either end or on both, that could cause a significant delay in adoption of the iPhone.
All right. So it sounds, what you're describing to me sounds a lot like new console releases, for example.
Sure. Or Spider-Man 3 coming out.
Uh-huh. So yeah, it's going to be like a big movie premiere or something else like this. Some numbers to toss out for folks playing along at home. Kerrison company analyst Shebly Serafi. Is that the name?
Right.
Your guess is as good as mine. Thinks the company's estimates, that would be Apple's estimates of 10 million iPhones by the end of 2008, is conservative and is estimating 17 million iPhones. To give people a sense of how that fits in, let's see. Last Christmas season, Apple sold, if I remember correctly, 19 million iPods in 3 months, right? In one quarter.
Holy crap. Yeah.
In the December quarter, in the Christmas season quarter. They sold 19 million iPods, but that's of every single kind, including the Shuffles, which people, you know, were buying 20 of and throwing off of balconies as a sign of affection.
I love those affectionate people.
So 17 million iPhones in by the end of 2008. That's over, what would that be? More like 18 months rather than three. Some numbers to toss around. And then gives this other meaningless projection of 25 million units in 2009. But of course, who has any idea what's going to happen in 2009? The other prediction that Mr. Serafi provides is 11.6 million iPods. Consensus estimates are closer to, I think, 9 million.
Right.
So analysts are getting really psyched up about this. Apple stock, as we're recording this, is around $105.
Yeah.
People are really geared up about this. Do you think that people are getting, that there's a kind of insanity before this product launch that's building, or is this all reasonable expectation built into the price of the stock?
You know, I think if the iPhone performs as advertised, this is all reasonable. If it does not, we're going to see a total switch in the insanity, and it'll be insane in the opposite direction. Now, with that in mind, one of the driving forces I see behind the excitement in the iPhone is the fact that every smartphone or just standard cell phone on the market sucks. I mean, that's the bottom line. You show me one cell phone that has a good user interface on it and an easy way to navigate physically or an easy way to physically interface with the cell phone's computer interface, and I'll show you the iPhone, which hasn't come out yet. I mean, there's no product on the market that gives you a good interface. And if there's someone working for a cell phone manufacturer that can prove me wrong, you know how to find us. All our contact info is in the show notes, and prove me wrong. I would love to be proven wrong on this, because the thought that the only cell phone we're going to have on the market that has a usable, understandable interface for human beings is based off of an iPod, and it hasn't even come out yet. In one sense, that's kind of a scary idea. I mean, we may have only one product that actually works for people.
Now, the one thing I want to point out to listeners, when you say this excitement is justified, what that means is, of course, if the translation of that to the price of the stock for users, and I hope that no one listens to this show for investment advice.
Oh, don't listen to this show for investment advice.
But for anyone who's thinking about how all of this stuff affects the price of the stock, if everything goes according to plan, what I believe that the stock translation of what you just said is, if everything goes according to plan, the price of the stock roughly stays the same or maybe rises a little bit because people say, okay, it really did happen. But the expectation is already built into the price of the stock. People are looking forward and expecting this success based on past successes and past reliability with software and functionality of products and so forth.
Right.
So no one should expect that if there are long lines outside of Apple stores and singular stores that the stock price is going to skyrocket, you know, on June 16th.
Or June 11th. Or June 32nd or whatever.
Or whatever the day after go day is.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the experience with the iPhone and anticipation about the product itself. You're talking about the interface. I'll tell you my reaction to the interface. My first is Steve Jobs at the keynote said something like, you know, the killer application for phone calls is for a phone is making phone calls. You want
right.
making phone calls to be as easy as possible. I agree with that. But my immediate reaction was, my cell phone is actually pretty good at making phone calls. If you take for granted that setting this up is not as easy as it should be, I can open my phone and hold down one button and call any one of nine different people. And the reality is that those nine people on my quick dial, where you just hold down beep and it calls one person, those are the people that I spend 99% of my phone calls with. And my understanding is that there's no version of that for the iPhone.
I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait till it comes out. Now,
bugger.
Drat it all to heck and back. the ability to do what you're doing with your phone, hold down a single button, wait for the beep, and then it dials the one out of nine people that you call all the time, which is, I'm sure, very typical for most people. That's great. The thing is, how many steps did it take you to set that up? Now, I'm just playing devil's advocate here. Yeah, that part sucked. Now, with that in mind, how many people actually take the time to set that up? I'm going to speculate, because of the type of audience we have, in our case, there's probably a high percentage of people that do that. In the overall spectrum of cell phone users, I would speculate that number is actually substantially lower. So even with that easy to use, once it's set up, function of holding down a single button and having your phone call that right person, not a lot of people, I think, are using that. So the flip side would be, why not have an interface that overall is easier to use and gives you quick access, or relatively quick access, to all of your numbers for all of your contacts, instead of having the quick access just to like nine people that takes a lot of work to set up?
Uh-huh. And I do have this suspicion that somewhere along the way, there will be a keynote where Steve Jobs gets up and says, hey, look, in iTunes, or wherever it is that you're managing your iPhone from, You can specify these people. Everyone calls the same 9 people all the time. So you can specify those people in iTunes. It's great. Here's your kid. Here's your mom. Here's your whatever. And you do them, and then there's some funky gesture, and the phone magically knows, call that person.
Okay. As long as I have my crystal ball out, here's my speculation on that very same feature. In Address Book, there will be a new feature where you can just put a check by your iPhone favorites. And then there will be an interface, like you hit a button and it brings up your favorites on the iPhone. And it just shows you a picture of each person's face. And all you have to do is touch their face and call them.
Touch their face.
Which... On one level is really cool. On another level, it's kind of creepy.
It's kind of creepy. Now I feel like we should call this episode Touch Your Face.
Yeah, and I think we need a Touch Your Face theme song. So if someone wants to write that for us, that would be fantastic.
Well, here is going to be today's Touch Your Face theme song.
You know, that was just an amazing segue.
It's late, people. I'm tired.
It's nighttime.
And a little punchy.
Just a touch.
Well, that's it for this context machine. We thought we'd just chat a little bit about this stuff that's coming up, obviously. We're going to get way into it probably around WWDC, the Worldwide Developers Conference, coming up, I think, the second week of June.
That sounds right. I think it's the 11th through the 18th.
Yeah, so there will be plenty of context machine fodder when that happens. And, of course, it will be on this show, and we'll be talking more about the iPhone as it comes out. But we figured, yeah, let's talk a little bit about it. It's a cool product.
Yes, it is.
We assume.
Well, yeah, just like everyone else, we assume it's a cool product. That's right. So, all right, well, have we beat that horse to death, at least for today?
I think so.
All right, then it's probably safe for me to say, and that's the news. Thanks for listening to Apple Weekly Report.
Our content is written by the staff of TMO. The bandwidth is from Cash, Fly, the bass is by Boom for TMO. And that's all I've got.
And since you're already listening, you might as well stay subscribed.
Until next week, everyone, we'll see you online. Cheers.